the Lord. Psalms chapter number 84. Psalms the 84th chapter. One of the more familiar psalms to us, but one that I preach from a verse tonight that I don't believe I've ever preached from before. Something I felt the Lord just speak to my heart to share with you tonight. The Bible says in verse number 1, we'll just read the entire chapter and let's read it together. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in the house, they will still be praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than 1,000. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Verse number 6 is where I'd like to draw your attention tonight. We'll comment throughout the entirety of the passage. But in verse number 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. There are two words I'd like to draw your attention to, and that is valley and well. Who passing through the valley, make it a well. A valley and a well. With the Lord helping me, I want to speak to you tonight on there is a well for every valley. There is a well for every valley. Let's pray. Father, I love you tonight, and I thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your grace. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to declare the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we are the sheep of your pasture tonight, and we ask you to divinely order the remainder of this service. I ask you, God, tonight to let your will be accomplished. We ask for the divine will and decree of God to be established in this house tonight. Let it be done, Lord, where two or three are gathered together, you promised in the midst you would be there. Let it be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This passage of Scripture breaks down very easily into three different sections. Matter of fact, the psalmist intended for that to be the case. For if you notice the first four verses, he ends by saying, Selah, or think about, meditate thereupon. So he has one thought for the first four verses. He has another thought for verses 5 through 8, because again, you notice at the end of verse number 8, he says, Selah, think about, meditate thereupon. And then he has a third thought, which is the last four verses of this chapter. And again, he has one thought for those four verses. If the Lord help me tonight, I have a targeted message, and I realize not to the exclusion of everyone else, but I do want to preach to those of you that feel like you might be in a valley. And I realize I may not be preaching to everyone because some may be shouting and skipping on tops of mountains. But I felt like this week that the Lord would have those assembled here tonight that you're in the midst of a valley, and so I make no apologies by calling you out. I feel like the Lord dealt with me to speak to you tonight, and the Lord certainly wants to bless your life. I want to get to that middle point in just a moment, but before we do, notice this psalmist is well acquainted with the house of the Lord. Whether it is David or one of the sons of Korah that has serviced the house of God in times past, it seems to be pre-captivity because the tabernacle is still intact, and maybe even a king is referred to in verse number 9. But nonetheless, this man is well acquainted with the house of God. He is very, very familiar with worship in the tabernacle. But it's also a time in his life to where he is absent. He is not able to be in the house of God, which leads me to the psalmist's ambition. He has one desire, and that is to get back to the house of the Lord. He refers to it and he says, "Thy tabernacles are beautiful, O Lord. It's just excellent and wonderful and beautiful when I think about the house of the Lord." But not just the house of God. He had much more of a desire than just to be in the house of God. Notice that he cried out for the living God. It was more than just ceremonial worship that he wanted to be part of. It was more than just another snapshot, another picture of the tabernacle. But somewhere along the line, this man had been acquainted with the God of this tabernacle. He had been there in the presence of Jehovah God, and he missed not only the house of God, but he had a hunger for God. He said, "My soul longeth for thee. My flesh crieth out after the living God." It was more than a house that the psalmist wanted. It was him. It was God and the presence of the Lord. I feel the same way tonight. I enjoy going to the house of God. Amen. I enjoy being in the sanctuary of the living God. Amen. This is the highlight of the week. Amen. I hate to put it this way, but it's probably downhill from here. Amen. But I love going to the house of the Lord. The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord." How many glad for the sanctuary of the living God? Amen. How many got saved in the house of God? Amen. How many got filled with the Holy Ghost in the house of the Lord? How many countless times has your joy been renewed and you've been refilled by the sweet Holy Ghost, right? In the house of God. No wonder, amen, we can say, "I was glad when they said, let us go unto the house of the Lord." Amen. I love the singing in God's house, don't you? Amen. I love the Spirit of God that I feel in the house of the Lord. Matter of fact, I love seeing the saints of God gather together in the house of the Lord. How many glad for smiling faces? Amen. Just look around tonight at all these smiling faces. You won't see this on the job tomorrow. You won't see this where you're going to work tomorrow, because we are in the house of the Lord. And the psalmist said, "I can't get there right now." Amen. I'd love to be there right now, but I'm absent. But oh, when I think, I said, when I think about all the times that I've been in God's house, when I think about the songs of Zion, I mean, just think about some of the times when the Spirit of God fell down like the rain and dew upon the mown grass. Think about the times you've been in the house of the Lord and it's been joy and joy and joy. Amen. How many times, maybe you just run around the house of the Lord. How many times you just shouted in the presence of God. Anybody got so happy that you just started shouting in the choir? Or you started shouting in your pew? I mean, there's no better place. I said, there's not another place like being in the house of the Lord. And the psalmist said, "Oh, I would to God my flesh cries out. I would to God that I was there." That psalmist got to thinking about a day when he was in the house of God and he looked up and a little sparrow started making her home right there in the house of the Lord. And that psalmist got jealous thinking about how that sparrow got to build a home right there in the house of the Lord. And that psalmist said, "Oh my God, how I'd love to be at the altar of the Lord. How I'd love to be there and to see and to hear worship and to make melody in my heart." Hey, isn't it psalmist the one that said, "Let everything that hath breath praise ye the Lord." Amen. Oh, sometimes if I can just get to the house of the Lord. I said, if I can just get to the house of God, regardless of the week, regardless of what's going on, if I can just stay, I don't know about you, maybe it's not this way for you, but it is for me. When I step into the sanctuary, I said, when I cross the threshold, something's different. I said it's different and something changes. Hallelujah. The psalmist said, I will enter his gates with thanksgiving. I will enter his courts with praise. I'll be thankful unto him and bless his name. And the psalmist said, oh, I would to God that I was there. And he had an ambition. We follow to the end of the chapter, and it's almost like he got there, for he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. One day in the house of God is better than 1,000 days serving the devil. Anybody know what I'm preaching about tonight? I said one day serving God is better than 1,000 days serving the devil. And the psalmist said, maybe I can't get to the altar, maybe I can't get back into that worship, but if I can just stand at the door, if I could just hear a little bit of praise and worship, if I could just see the saints go into the house of God, I'd rather do that than anything else this world has to offer. The way I feel about it, amen, when I got saved, I stepped up. Amen, I started a better life. I stepped up in serving God. And I feel like the psalmist tonight, the Lord, he'll give grace and glory. And so we start the beginning of the chapter with the psalmist wanting to get there. And we close out the psalm by being there. But in the middle is what I want to preach about tonight. How do you go from there to the sanctuary? Because he's on a journey. He wants to get to the house of the Lord. And in verse number 5, he said, in my heart is the highway to the house of the Lord. What he's saying is, my heart's already there. I'm going to get to the house of the Lord. But along the way, along this treacherous journey back to Jerusalem, he references a valley. Anybody acquainted with valleys? So for the next 10 or 15 minutes, let me preach to those of you that are in a valley tonight. Because the psalmist can identify with you. He talks about a valley. On one side, he sees the mountain peaks. He looks yonder and there's another mountain. But right now, he is trotting through the dangerous difficulties of valley living. The Bible says that it's a dry place. Baker interpreted means to, the root word is weep, but we never interpret it as weeping. It seems to be maybe a balsam tree, a tree that loves the dry air. So here this psalmist is on his way to the house of God. He's already there in his heart. I mean, in his mind, he's already there. But he's going through a low, low valley. And it seems as if maybe this is the place they're going to abide for the night. Yonder is Jerusalem. Yonder is worship. Yonder is back to the house of God. And he's thinking much about that bird that makes her nest in God's house. And thinking much about the times he has visited there and been there. But he's not there right now. He is in a valley. And as he lays down for the night, and the cool air of the region sweeps in, and they nod off to sleep, it seems as if they awake to a strange phenomenon. And that is, throughout the middle of the night, the rain has moved in. And it's begun to clothe or to mantle this valley with that fresh rain. They look, and even some of the low spots of the valley are now filled. And what was once a low, empty, dry pit is now pools filled with the rain from heaven. And the psalmist begins to spiritualize his journey.
And he said that we're passing through the lowest possible point on the way to the city of God, on the way to worship, but going through the valley, in the midst of the valley, we have found that there is a well. We have found that there is a well of the rain from heaven. And can I preach to you tonight? This is something I believe that is very, very important for all of us to understand. That in the midst of valley living, in the midst of going through those low times of life, when we will all travel, when we will all trod there, there are different valleys that we go through. There are valleys of loneliness. There are valleys of despair. There are valleys of separation. There are valleys of tears and sorrow. There are valleys of heartaches. There are valleys when we go to bed at night wondering, does anybody care? Does anybody even know? There are times that we go to bed with burdens upon our heart that we cannot even share with anybody else. And it's a valley living. And we know if God gives us grace that one day we may yonder enter the saints of God, the city of God, and get back to worship. But before we get there, it is God's grace and it is God's mercy. But I preach to you tonight that in every valley, I said there is a well. I said there is a well in every valley. But God's grace and God's mercy, now it's hidden to me and you that aren't in the valley. Unless you're in the midst of the valley, the psalmist has no idea that this well is there. The psalmist has no idea about the hidden spring or the hidden comfort that is ready to break forth. He has no idea. And neither do you or I that may be looking down from the mountaintop. Those of us maybe that God has blessed, and we're maybe you're standing on top of a mountain tonight and you say, I don't see that well. But those of you tonight that may be walking in the midst of the driest place of your life, those that might be walking in the most God-forsaken place that you have ever encountered in your spiritual walk with God, a place to where you cry out and say, has God forsaken me? Has God left me? What have I done to deserve this? Is this the judgment of God? Is this the hand of God against me? Why, God? Why me, God? I just want to get back to the house of God. It is you I preach to tonight. I said it is you that have cried out to God, saying, God, where are you? Or like David old, that I had wings like a dove, that I might fly away. It is you that I preach to tonight, that the Spirit of God says, I'll meet you in the valley. I'll meet you in the valley. There's a well of grace. There's a well of mercy. There's a well of healing. There's a well of favor in your life. There is a well in every valley. When you hear a man get up and preach on a topic, and God just anoints him in a special way, chances are, if you'll read his biography, you will find a time when he walked into a low valley. Oh, Holy Ghost, help me tonight. Amen. I feel like I'm locking up the 99. Amen. Just to preach to one. Amen. So help me if you would. Amen. But it is those times, amen, where I have walked into that valley and closed the door. There are spots that I can take you to in this sanctuary that God and God alone has heard what I prayed. It was God and God alone that understood what I was wrestling with in my mind. Was you backsliding? No. Was you giving up? No. My mind was already in worship. My heart was already in Jerusalem, in the sanctuary. My heart was there, but my body and my spirit and my feet were in the valley. And I said, God, I've got to have trouble. I've got to have help in the midst of this trouble. And it is is at those moments. It is at those low times when I've cried out, God, where are you? I need to feel you. I need you to breathe on me. I need you to reconfirm. I need to feel your hand. I need to feel your spirit. I've got to have you, or I'm not getting through this valley. And it is in those times that I have realized that there is a well in every valley, that God will never leave us and God will never forsake us. I said he's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. If you feel you're in a valley tonight, then I got news. God will provide a well. Go to the hospital, regardless of what the doctor says, whatever that valley is, no matter how low that valley is, he is with me. He is with me. He is with me. He is with me. Step into that boss's office. They slide a pink slip across the desk and tell you to pack your things. Your services are no longer required. And it catapults you into a low valley. He is still with you. I said he is still with you. When that child rears up in rebellion against your authority and marches out of the house instead of submitting and yielding us, I said it is those times that you can still go to God and he is with you. I said, oh, thanks be unto God for every valley. I said there's a well of God's mercy. There's a well of God's forgiveness. There's a well of God's favor. There's a well of God's spirit. There is a well. That preacher, friend of mine, that I know, that's walking through a valley. There's a well. There's a well. There's a well that he has found. That hidden source of strength. That preacher's wife that I saw stand on the platform the other day and weep in the presence of God. I don't know the valley. I don't know the trial. But I know this, that there is a well. That if she can tap into that well, oh, hallelujah. If she can tap into the Spirit of God, the devil is a liar. I said, God will never leave me. I said, he's not forsaken me. This valley is not the judgment of God. This valley is a learning tool where I learn more about God. It's just a valley. For every valley. Well, I'm just gonna quit. Can't take it anymore. I'm done. This is as far as I go. And there's a lot of valleys that are filled with the carcasses of what used to be and what could have been. Dreams and disappointments die. Marriages and families strewn asunder because we didn't find the well. Well, I'll read a book. It's not going to get you through. Well, I'm going to call so-and-so. It won't get you through. It won't get you through. I got to find somebody that understands. I'll tell you who understands. I'll tell you who understands. It is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone, for at his highest pinnacle, it was also his deepest agony. For on the very cross that he died, he looked toward heaven. And in the deepest valley, he looked toward heaven. And he said, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? And in that lowest valley, he found a well of eternal springs. He found a well of comfort. And he said, Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. Father, forgive them. forgive them. I said it was joy. I said it was joy. And in the midst of a valley, he found a well of strength. Oh, can I preach to you tonight that Jesus Christ understands? Can I preach to you tonight that he loves you supremely? He loves you dearly. And in the midst of your valley, tonight, you can feel the hand of God. You can feel him. You may not get out of that valley tonight, but notice what the psalmist said, passing through. Passing what? Passing by. Oh, we love to get around. Passing by. No, passing through. Passing through. What did he say? I'm passing through. I'm passing through. I'm getting through this. This is not my journey where it ends. This is not the last chapter. This is not. I'm going out. I'm getting through this. I'm coming out. I'll be back to the house of God. I'll shout again. I'll dance again. Some of you feel like you've lost your dream. You've lost your hope. You're wondering if you'll ever shout again. Will you ever dance again? Will you ever feel God again? Will you ever speak in tongues again? I say yes. You just got to get through. I say get through. Get through. Oh God, tonight I would that you'd feel the Spirit of the living God give you hope and say, I'm going through. When thou goest through the waters, I will be with thee. When thou goest through the fire, the flame shall not kindle upon thee. I am with thee. Jesus told his disciples, I am with you all the way to the end. This isn't the end. You need to tell the devil, this isn't the end. This isn't the end. This is not the end. Jesus is with me. Passing through. From strength to strength. Passing through. For every valley, there's a well. So for someone here tonight, God's got a well marked for you. Now the choice is if we want to find it, if we want to sit down and die here. There are folks, you can hear them when they talk. They're full of bitterness. I wasn't done right. I didn't deserve that. They're full of jealousy and envy. They're full of brokenness and despair. This is as far as they got. But there are those that are on the other side and say, let me remind you and tell you that at my darkest hour, when I thought I could not take another step, God dispatched angels of mercy and began to minister to me. It was when Jesus came out of the wilderness that the angels came and ministered unto him. Not while he was in the wilderness, but when he came out, the angels came down and ministered to him. Can I preach one more time? You're going through. I said, who am I preaching to tonight? I said, you're going through. I said, you're going through. I said, you're greater than that. You're greater than that. I said, God's not left you. I said, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I said, we're overcomers. We're victors. He made us the head and not the tail. He put us above and not beneath. I am going through. Hallelujah. Father, I love you tonight. Oh, God, I praise you. Hallelujah. 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 These are your people.